Volume 35, number 6 of the New Era magazine for June 2005. Official monthly publication for Youth of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Copyright 2005 by Intellectual Reserve Incorporated. All rights reserved. The Message, Making Hard Decisions, by Elder Richard G. Scott of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. To qualify for inspiration and direction from the Lord throughout your life, decide now to do what the Lord wants you to do, even though it may appear to be a sacrifice or very challenging. I have learned from personal experience how making the right decision at a critical time can bless your entire life. With a sincere desire to help you gain confidence in your ability to consistently make right choices, I will share a personal experience that taught me important lessons. The Lord began to bless me. After I graduated from college, served a mission, and got married, my wife and I moved to the eastern United States, where I found a job. Through a series of what I now see as unusual experiences, I was interviewed to have a job as an engineer in a new and exciting activity, the design and development of nuclear power plants for submarines. As I look back, it should have been virtually impossible for me to get that job. There were more experienced people applying for it. It just worked out that the Lord helped me. That shows us that the Lord will bless our lives if we follow His promptings and do what the prophets say. We must exercise courage and faith and choose the right, even though many around us are not. After 11 exciting years of working at that job, I was in a meeting one night with those developing an essential part of the nuclear power plant. My secretary came in and said, "There's a man on the phone who says if I tell you his name, you'll come to the phone." I said, "What's his name?" She said, "Harold B. Lee." I said, "He's right." I took the phone call. Elder Lee, who later became president of the church, asked me if he could see me that very night. He was in New York City, and I was in Washington, D.C. I flew up to meet him, and we had an interview that led to my call to be a mission president. The head of the program I was working for was Admiral Hyman Rickover, a hard-working, demanding individual. I knew him well enough that I felt I needed to tell him as soon as possible that I was being called. As I explained the mission call to him, and that it would mean I would have to quit my job, he became rather upset. He said some unrepeatable things, broke the paper tray on his desk, and in the comments that followed clearly established 2 points. "Scott, what you are doing in this defense program is so vital that it will take a year to replace you, so you can't go. Second, if you do go, you are a traitor to your country." I said, "I can train my replacement in the 2 remaining months, and there won't be any risk to the country." There was more conversation, and he finally said, "I will never talk to you again. I don't want to see you again. You are finished, not only here, but don't ever plan to work in the nuclear field again." I responded, "Admiral, you can bar me from the office, but unless you prevent me, I am going to turn this assignment over to another individual." True to his word, the Admiral ceased to speak to me. When critical decisions had to be made, he would send a messenger, or I would communicate through a third party. He assigned an individual to take my responsibility, and I trained him. My difficult decision. It wasn't going to be hard for me to leave. I knew I had been called as a mission president by the Lord, but I knew that my decision would affect others. In the Idaho Falls, Idaho area, where many members of the church whose jobs depended upon working in the nuclear program, I didn't want to cause them harm. I didn't know what to do. My heart kept saying, "Is this going to turn out all right, or will somebody be innocently hurt who depends on our program for livelihood?" As I prayed and pondered about it, I had a feeling about the hymn, "Do what is right." A line from the hymn would come to mind, "Do what is right. Let the consequence follow." Other words from the hymn were reinforcing, such as, "God will protect you. Then do what is right." Hymns number 237. My last day in the office, I asked for an appointment with the Admiral. His secretary gasped. I went with a copy of the Book of Mormon in my hand. He looked at me and said, "Sit down. Scott, what do you have? I have tried every way I can to force you to change. What is it you have?" There followed a very interesting, quiet conversation. There was more listening this time. He said he would read the Book of Mormon. Then something happened I never thought would occur. He added, "When you come back from the mission, I want you to call me. There will be a job for you." Your difficult decisions. As a youth, you will have challenges and hard decisions to make throughout your life. For a young man, your first hard decision may be whether you should be a missionary or not. That is not really a question. The Lord has indicated a mission is a privilege and responsibility. What's needed is to live worthy to serve as a missionary, to understand the teachings of the Lord, particularly the message of the Restoration, and to realize that you'll be able to bless many lives if you forget yourself in the service of the Lord. As a mission president, I saw how young men and women were given opportunities that caused them to grow enormously while they richly blessed the lives of others. The missionaries who found the work easiest had studied the Scriptures and internalized the gospel message. Because of missionaries' willingness to make the difficult decision to give up things that would appear attractive to teenagers, the Lord gave them opportunities to serve, and later, wonderful companions in marriage. They became outstanding servants of God because of their discipline, hard work, and trust in the Lord. A significant number of them have been leaders in the church, and they are truly outstanding in their professions. For your good. Determine now to always do what is right, and let the consequence follow. The consequence will always be for your best good. You will learn that it is easiest over the long run to stand for what is right and to do the difficult thing to begin with. Once you take that position, following through is not too hard. I have never been sorry when I stood up for what was right, even against severe criticism. As you learn that truth, you will also discover that when you are obedient, you will be inspired to know what to do and have the capacity to do it. With all of the love in my heart, I ask you to decide to keep the standards of the Lord. Live so that the Holy Ghost can inspire you to consistently do what is right. I testify that as a result, your worthy dreams or something even better will be yours. Your Father in heaven and His beloved Son love you. They want your happiness more than you can now possibly know. They will help you attain that happiness as you steadfastly do all you can to obey the commandments. Note, parts of this article were taken from Do What Is Right, Ensign, June 1997, pages 51 through 55, end of note. Sidebar, Deciding on a Mission by Issei Limon Torres. When I was young, my family and my primary teachers asked me if I was going to go on a mission when I was older. I always said yes. When I was 12 years old, I was ordained to the office of deacon. My leader started saying that I would be going on a mission in just 7 years. It seemed so far away. When I was ordained a teacher, the reminders of an upcoming mission became more frequent. When I was ordained a priest, they became even more frequent. I started to get worried because I had only 3 years left. I liked the idea of going on a mission, as some of my older brothers had done, but the thought of being away from my family for 2 years in another part of the world was frightening. I realized that I was afraid to go on a mission because I didn't have a strong desire to go. I told Francisca, my sister, about my problem, and she sat down next to me and said, "Issei, I understand what you're saying, and I have just two things to say to you. The first is that a mission is where people can have the Spirit 100% of the time when their eye is single to the glory of God. The second thing is to ask the Lord to help your desire to go on a mission grow. The Lord will help you." I followed her advice and started to pray that my desire to serve a mission would become strong. April 6, 2000 was a day of decision for me, because that was the day my home teaching companion left to go on his mission. I went to the airport to see him off. When he got on the plane, I felt a nervous excitement about doing the same thing. But instead of feeling afraid, I had a feeling of peace. I concluded that these feelings were the answer to my prayers. I knew the Lord wanted me to serve a mission. From that day on, I had a firm desire to go on a mission when I was 19. I was called to serve in the California San Jose Mission, and I have just recently returned. My years there were the best of my life. I found that even though I was far away from my family, when I had hard times or needed help, the Spirit of the Lord comforted and helped me. I came to know and love my Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. I could say with certainty that the Book of Mormon is true. My testimony of living prophets and of the restoration grew. I came to love the people I was serving, and I learned that the gift of tongues is real because I learned to speak and teach in English. What I thought would be a big sacrifice became the greatest blessing in my life. Note, Issei Lemon Torres is a member of the Matamoros First Ward, Matamoros, Mexico Stake. End of note. End of sidebar. End of the message, Making Hard Decisions, by Elder Richard G. Scott of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles.